Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use Matthew 2, the reading out of the Gospel of Matthew, as our text today. I grew up thinking that Christianity was an American religion. Even in the seminary, when I was studying the religious practices of the people of Europe, I was not surprised to find that the grand cathedrals were nearly empty on a Sunday morning because they did not go to church. And I began to think that the place God loved the most was my country, America. And all the rest of the world was mostly just lost. That was why we sent missionaries over there. That was where the false religions were sprouted and growing. We were where God lived. And I knew God loved America. The visit of the Magi tells a different story. They remind us that when the Bible says God loved somebody, the Bible says it was the whole world. And it matters. And I'll tell you why it matters. Two reasons, first of all. It matters, first of all, because I am not who I think I am. I like reading old gardening magazines. My sister gives them to me in a box. I like that because she pays for them and I get them for free. But also, I have a whole stack of them and I can just read the articles that I like out of the magazines. And so that's what I do. I go through all those magazines and I read the articles that I like. Then when I'm done with that, I go through and read the articles that I don't like because that's all that is left. And finally, when I've read everything in the magazine, I go to the ads in the back of the magazine. And I have to admit that I like reading the personal ads. This last week, I read one about a man who was looking for a wife. He was 6'3", weighed 185 pounds, outdoor type, said he was kind and good-looking, that he loved backpacking and camping and fishing, and I thought to myself, this could be me, because I weigh 185 pounds. The rest of it didn't match too well, but so what? Now, I'm not looking for a wife. I love my wife, and I do like to go backpacking and camping. I do have a bad back, and you would have to carry your pack and my pack, but there is that. And then camping, we would have to camp where there's an electrical plug-in because I have that CPAP machine that I wear all the time. And I like to fish when the fish are biting and the bugs are not. The rest of the time, I don't. And some days I'm not very friendly, and the good-looking part could be questionable too. The point of it is, there are two descriptions you have of you. If you look at all your good points, all the things that you're good at, you could make this glowing description of yourself, and it would be true. And yet if you looked at all your negative parts, and you made a description of all that was wrong with you, you'd have a terrible description of yourself, and that one would be true too. It seems to me that we have the same thing going in our spiritual life. I see myself as a child of God. I grew up in a family that mostly went to church. I try to obey God in the things I do. I'm a good person. I am one of the saints. I believe that to be true. On the other hand, if you happen to be riding with me when I'm driving the car in heavy traffic, you might see another part of my personality. I have moments when I'm hard to get along with. It wouldn't be hard to prove that I am a sinner. This is why I need to know about these kings from the east. There's a bumper sticker I've never seen but should be out there. I'm glad God saves idiots because I'm one of them. There is a need I have for a God who loves people who don't belong in the family. I always see those wise men as outsiders. They were not of the people of God. They came from a foreign country that probably was an enemy of Israel. They didn't really belong. But you see, I've come to see that I share that part of their history. It turns out I need a God who welcomes outsiders, who loves sinners, because that turns out to be who I am. I say this because I believe you and I share a kind of struggle in our spiritual life. We want to belong. We want to be comfortable in God's family. But sometimes we disappoint ourselves. And even if we are not famous for being a sinner, even if we aren't famous for doing the wrong thing, we see those things and we can feel like we don't belong in the family of God. And I think maybe this is where we have a spiritual struggle with our faith. A feeling of being, you know, the last one chosen. You know when they choose teams to play any game, that last person chosen is somebody nobody wants. That's why they got to be the last person chosen. Finally, somebody says, okay, they can be on my team, but Don't throw them the ball. When you feel that way with God, you can feel unloved. It's like being a puppy nobody wants. There are two commercials that I never watch. I just change channels. And I know it makes me to be a bad person, but I have trouble watching the commercial where the kids all have cancer. It's heartbreaking to me, and I have trouble watching it. And I know these two are not related, but the other one is the dog adoption one. Because I don't have a dog, and I could give a dog a home, but they show the ugliest dogs in those commercials. I mean, it's like they've got an eye missing, and there's an ear torn, and they look mean. They're just sitting there kind of looking at you, and I think, who would adopt an ugly dog like that? I think I could do better on their commercials. What happens, if it has not already happened to you, is that there are moments in your life when you feel ugly. When you say something and it disappoints you, and you say in your mind, I'm not that kind of person. Why did I say that? I'm not that kind of person. Why did I do that? That's not who I am. Why am I in this place? And when you feel ugly before yourself, it's a bad feeling. When you feel ugly before your neighbor, it's a bad feeling. It is a tragedy when you feel ugly before God. The first lesson from the wise men is that God loves ugly people. He loves outsiders, those who do not belong. You pick your best day. You pick your best day when you've done everything you could think of to serve God, and you stand before Him, and you are stained with 1,000 sins, thoughts you should not have had, words you should not have said, things you should have done but you didn't do. On your best day, you stand before God, and if you are measured according to His righteousness, you stand in rags, and you stand in garments that are worn out. And He looks at you standing there, and He welcomes you into the family, and He bathes you with forgiveness, and He gives you new garments to wear, and suddenly it is not true anymore. You are not ugly, you are not dirty, and He treats you like a child. I love that car commercial where the guy is washing his car, but it looks like a baby, and he's enjoying that. And it occurs to me that if you wanted to make everybody in a hospital feel better, just take videos of a baby. Have them watch the baby. We love to look at babies. We're facing a crisis in our family. We've been gifted with a grandson, and we have not seen him yet. The rule is you have to be well to be next to the baby. I finally got well, and now Jan is homesick. So we're working at it. We may never get well enough to see our grandson. I don't know. But I understand when people take care of babies, they want to take care of babies. Dan texted me a message. He said, this baby is a poop machine. I texted back, it's genetic. But it never occurred to me that Dan would look at that dirty diaper and not love that baby. You love babies. It doesn't matter what that baby does. The baby can cry. The baby can hit you. The baby can be mean to you. You love babies. That's just how we are. I maybe worse than you, but we love those babies. No wonder an angel warned Joseph and Mary to flee. He was protecting the baby. Of course you watch out for the baby. You, through the blood of Jesus Christ, don't become a citizen of heaven. The Bible says you become a child of God. You become His baby. Of course He loves you. All the moments of your life, He loves you in those bad moments. He loves you in those terrible moments. He loves you all the time of your life. So now when you feel the weight of your sin and when you feel ugly, you can know that you are His baby, and that it is not true, that He loves you. That's what forgiveness does for you. It is always the most important lesson of Scripture. It's the one I learned from the wise men. The other lesson of the wise men tells me why we live in this world. God has in mind that the message get out. And I believe this church exists, and you are alive in the world today because you have some part in spreading the news. Now, I'll be honest with you, if you'll be honest with me, doesn't that scare you a little bit? We are scared of being evangelists. When I got to church of our first snow earlier in the year, someone, before I ever got here, had scraped all the sidewalks. When I pulled in today, somebody was salting all of the drive, all of the parking space, not just the driveways, the parking space. We have people who do many jobs in this church. This is the one that scares us. We do not feel like we are capable of proclaiming the message. I want you to step away from that job that scares you for a moment, and I want you to agree with me on two items. First of all, are you willing to trust that God will give you a job to do? That's what God has promised. God has promised that everybody that is alive today has a job to do. Will you simply trust that God has a job for you to do? And number two, will you simply say to God, I'm willing to be what you called me to be? I'm not asking you to volunteer for any job, not right at this moment. I'm not asking you to volunteer to be anything frightening, but I'm asking you simply to stand before God and say, I trust that you have a job for me, and I am willing to be where you want me to be. It seems to me that that simple statement of faith is all God asks of us. He does not ask us to be terrorized in how we serve Him. He doesn't even ask us to volunteer for stuff we don't want to do. I think there are times when you ought to spread your envelope of comfort out a little bit, but I believe all God really asks of you is to be what He calls you to be. Our church has voted to begin the process to call a new pastor. And when you get a change in pastors, you get changes in the church. I want you to look in those times of change for where you fit in, for jobs that will be comfortable for you to do. And in fact, I would like to give you an assignment that is not frightening, that every one of us ought to share. This was brought to my attention in our men's Bible study on Saturday morning. I would like to ask everybody in this congregation to pray one time in the morning and one time in the evening. Pray for the men and women who are on the call committee. But above all, pray for that man that we're going to call. God has already chosen him. God knows who he is. It's an easy thing to do. Do not overlook the amazing, abundant power of prayer. I ask you to volunteer to do that. Once in the morning, once in the evening, say a prayer for that process. Say a prayer for the leaders on the call committee and pray for the man who will accept the call. Those wise men, there was a moment in our text when they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Was it when they saw the baby Jesus? Was it when they realized who he was? No. The Bible says when they saw the star that was going before them, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It was just with anticipation of what was coming up in their lives. I believe we have available to us the same capacity. We know where we are headed in our lives. We are headed to glory that goes on forever. We know where we go when we leave this world. It is a place where there is only joy. I believe that that can sustain a rejoicing with exceeding great joy. It is how you and I can live our lives. If you want to be an evangelist that changes your community, if you want to be someone who spreads the outreach of the church, where you work or where you live or where you shop, nothing changes people more than to see somebody who is rejoicing with exceeding great joy. Just be that person, and be that person where someone can see you and they wonder where you got that kind of joy. They wonder how a person could be that happy in a world that's so silly and crazy as ours is. And you can tell them if they ask. It's because I know where I am going. It is a place of joy. That's what Jesus does for us. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of joy which surpasses all of our understanding.